Some of you may know I have a love-hate relationship with tools. I'll explain. I admire the person who has lots of tools. I really admire them if they know what in the world to do with those tools, to know what each of those tools is and what they do, and actually is able to use them and make something that's desirable to look at, that's functional. My father would occasionally send me to the dreaded basement and tell me to get him a particular tool. And I would say 9 times out of 10, I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. It was a major source of frustration because I knew that I was going to grab the wrong one and go back up and find, no, that's not the right tool. My dad is one of the most skilled mechanical minds I think I've ever known. I mean, the guy would fix anything, could build anything. Maybe it's just that father and son thing. You think your dad can do everything. That's quite possible. But he actually could fix quite a few things and build things, and I admired that, and I always felt like somehow I'd never got those genes quite passed down to me. I try to build things, and I do build things, but I've got to look at it. Look at it some more, think about it, look at it some more, put one screw in. Oh, wait a minute, should I have done that? Oh, I don't know. This whole thing's going to go, I don't know. Well, and then my wife was watching me with this tree fort I built last, and she's, what are you doing? Well, I'm thinking about my next move. Well, just do it. I can't do that. I'm still thinking. It's very complicated for me. It's very hard for me to function in the mechanical realm at all, much as I would love to. And somebody asked me one time, what is one skill you wish you could have that you don't have? And that is definitely a skill I would love to have, and I know I don't have it, but I struggle through it, and I've always admired those who know what they're doing. And I think of somebody like David Strid. Dave is a guy who, I've been in his home, he's got lots of cool looking tools. I don't know what they all are. He's got a saw in his basement. That thing's just, it's cool. It really is. Dave built this little mini pulpit, and if you look in my office, you'll see cabinet-type bookcases he built on the wall. They're a work of art. The cabinets in the lounge downstairs, he built those. The man is a master carpenter, and I admire somebody that has tools, knows what to do with the tools, and actually builds something useful with the tools. I also have tools. I have all kinds of mismatched sets of all kinds of tools. I don't have many tools, and I don't really know how to use the ones I have. And I can assure you that I have used tools incorrectly. I have used a chainsaw and discovered that it cuts ankles just as easily as logs. I've done that. I could show you the scar, but not this morning. When we properly use tools, we can build wonderful things, useful things, desirable things, right? And when we misuse them, well, yikes. We go to the emergency room. Again. And whether you're like me and you find tools to be difficult and hard to use and understand, or whether you're like Dave, who's kind of a master at those things, the bottom line is that all of us need to use the tools that we've been given, right? We're going to be going into this study over the next, probably take us a few months, we'll delve into this first chapter of the epistle of St. Peter. And I got to tell you, you're going to have fun. You really are. You say, how can I have fun? You can't. You use your imagination. We're going to have fun over the next bunch of weeks talking about 2 Peter chapter 1. This is a rich passage of Scripture, folks. And if you've never read this passage, boy, this is one to just read it and read it over again. We will try to mine the depths of this, but probably won't even come close, even in the months that we go through it. There is so much here. But Peter really tells us that there is a need for us to build a godly life. And he talks about that in this passage, talks about escaping the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And God wants us to do that. He wants us to participate in the divine nature, build something that is holy, build something that is pleasing to him, and escape the corruption of the world. But Peter doesn't leave us hanging and say, yeah, that's what you're required to do, but good luck. Right? Honestly, one of the most powerful verses to me in all of Scripture is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I want you guys, honestly, to memorize this verse. By the time we're done, you'll probably have heard it so many times, whether you wanted to memorize it or not, it's just going to be banging around in your head and you'll know it. But his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Translation, we have all that we need to live that godly life. We have it. It's there. Now, we're going to discover more about that, what that means, and how we actually access those things that God has given us, and what do we do with them, because, quite frankly, God can give us tools, but we can misuse them, right? Again, I went to Home Depot, and I bought me a nice chainsaw, and it has a great function. It cuts wood into pieces that need to be a certain size that will fit into my wood stove. I can have heat and keep my family warm, right? That's a good purpose of the tool. Putting it into my flesh, not a good purpose, right? Tools can be used, they can be misused, they can be ignored. If I leave all my tools on the pegboard in my basement, but I never take them off, well, they're not going to do me much good building anything, are they? These kids sat here this morning, they said, well, if you're going to build a tree for it, you're going to need a hammer and some nails, you're probably going to need a drill, you're going to need, they were right, all those things. Well, what if I had all those things at home, left them safely in their proper place and never pulled them off the wall, never took them out of the box, I wouldn't have built a tree for it, would I have? Right? All right, well, let's look at this text this morning. We're going to look at it once more. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. And I've actually included the last couple of verses here. It's quite interesting. Peter says, it is right for me to refresh your memory as long as I live. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you'll be able to remember these things. You know, sometimes we say, I'm a Christian, and I know the Bible, and I know what I'm supposed to do, and now on I'm just kind of coasting the rest of the way. You know, do a few good deeds here and there. No, not even close. And Peter says, you might think you learned it, you might think you read it, I'm going to remind you again and again. And as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep reminding you. Not about you. I need constant reminders in my walk with Christ. I tend to be knuckleheaded. I don't know if that's really a word or not, but it fits me. I tend to forget stuff, and I tend to need the Lord to remind me again. Hey, son, I told you before, don't walk that way. I'm sorry. And he guides me back the way I'm supposed to go. And then he'll end up having to remind me again, I imagine. Peter reminds us that God wants us to live a godly life. He wants us to look beautiful. He wants us to be useful. He wants us to be that created thing that has value and use, that expresses and declares his glory. And he has given us every tool that we need in our toolbox to build a godly life. He has. Over the next few months, we're going to discover what is in our toolbox. I want to encourage you that God does not reward us for having shiny tools. He doesn't say, well done, good servant. You kept those tools that I gave you in the box. They didn't rust. They're nice and shiny. Still in the shrink wrap. No, he wants you to take them out and use them. He rewards the life, uses the tools that he's given, and builds something that is wonderful. All right. Everyone gets the same toolbox. Verse 1. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. It is very clear who the Apostle Peter is writing to. He is writing to believers in Jesus Christ. This is not an evangelistic message where Peter is writing to those pagans in the Roman Empire who do not know Jesus. He's writing to Christians. Okay? It says here, he's writing to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. He's writing to believers, Christians. Right? This is not a repeat of his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Right? And the day of Pentecost, Peter does what? Says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, right? And 3,000 people that day come to Christ for salvation. He preached an evangelistic message. He proclaimed the gospel, said, come to Christ, receive him as Savior, right? That's not who he's talking to. He's not talking to unbelievers in this epistle. He's talking to those who know Christ, talking to Christians. So this message is for us who follow Christ, right? Writes to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Here's the beautiful thing, folks. Whether an apostle, a master builder, if you want to consider Apostle Peter, well, he's a master carpenter, right? He's a master builder. That guy, he was an apostle. Okay, fine. So whether you're an apostle, whether you're a master builder, or you're a new convert, and you've just received your new toolbox, you still have the same tools. You follow? Peter, I love this. Peter says, who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. What does that mean? Same faith, same God, same toolbox. You've received the same thing. I love that. We often view ourselves, well, there's a super Christian and then there's me. You know, we look at these love, but the fact is we've all received the same toolbox, right? We all get the same tools. Now, some use them, some don't. We can get into that. We'll talk about that as we go along. But we've all received the same toolbox. It says they have received the same precious faith. And I want to talk about this a little bit. We're going to spend a few minutes here. Peter actually, this is, Peter's a pretty good Calvinist in these first few verses here. See, that's actually backwards, isn't it? Yeah, Calvin would have liked what Peter says here. Have received a faith as precious as ours. We often make the mistake of thinking of faith as something that we muster or create based on us, on our study of the facts or our intellect or our will. And the Bible says our faith is a gift from God. And the Apostle Peter says, we have received, makes it a gift, doesn't it? We received a faith, a gift. A couple of the places where Paul actually expounds on that point as well. Ephesians 2, passage we know very familiar. Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is by grace, it is by a gift, God's gift, that we have been saved through faith. Well, where did the faith come from? Not from ourselves, it is the gift of God. And the faith that we have in God is a gift. The fact is, you would not have faith in God if God did not give you the faith to have in him. God, in his sovereign will, in order to glorify himself, called us to himself, granted us the gift of faith, and gave us salvation. And the difference, folks, is if God does that work, then he gets the glory. If I am the one that's involved in that, then I try to get the glory in boasting. It doesn't work that way. A couple of the passages, Romans 4:16 says, therefore the promise comes by faith. Why? Paul says, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Paul describes faith in terms of it being a gift. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. It comes by faith so that it may be by grace, so that it may be a gift. In Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. How did we receive our gift of faith? We heard the gospel proclaimed. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. That's why, folks, it is so important that when you hear a sermon, you hear the gospel. Because if the gospel is not being presented, saving faith is not able to be received. You catch that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. It's so important. And that speaks to my heart as far as a pastor. I will not preach sermons that don't have the gospel in them, because I'm just wasting all of our time. God has called me to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is as the gospel is proclaimed, faith is able to be received. Faith, a precious faith, shared by all. We all have the same toolbox. We all are able to receive that same gift of faith from God. And we have the same tools. All right, verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Peter is going to go into detail as to the kind of life that we should be living as those who share with him in this precious faith. Again, we talked about this. He describes for us the need for us to escape the corruption caused by evil desires in this world and participate in the divine nature, right? That is where he's going with this. We need to have that kind of a godly life. But he says here, grace and peace are ours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How often, believer, do you live a life, don't raise your hand or shout out, how often do you live a life without grace and without peace? I'm guilty. There are times that my life is not defined by peace. We struggle, don't we? We despair at times. We look within ourselves for strength and find ourselves severely disappointed. We look to other things to give us peace. We look to other people. But it says here, Peter says, grace and peace are abounding to those who seek the knowledge of God. Grace and peace in abundance are ours through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Again, I just want you to catch in these opening couple of verses of what Peter's emphasizing. Where is he emphasizing that our faith comes from?
God. We receive from him.
He talks about grace and peace and abundance, but where does it come from? It comes from him. We need to constantly have a Godward focus. He is the source of grace and peace. He is the source of our salvation. He is the giver and the supplier, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. He and he alone. We did a study on Calvinism a number of months ago, a little short study. We didn't quite finish it. But one of the things that I admire with Calvin's theology is just the fact that it is a much bigger view of God and a much smaller view of man, as it should be. It is all about God. It is all about his glory. It is all about his work that he does in us, and not about I am so clever and so smart, and God is just so lucky that I chose him. What a crazy notion. No, God calls us. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Think about that, our purpose. And what should give us delight is God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We need to constantly be asking the question, how am I giving glory back to him? Because look at what he has given to us. He has given us all of those things that we talked about here. Now, how many of you've ever been in love? Wow. So there's a dead husband in the back, I see. Presumably some of you have been in love, and some of you are going to wish that you had answered properly. Anyway, if you have been in love, what happens? You want to grow in your knowledge of that person, right? You want to find out, what are they like? What is it that they are passionate about? To the nitty-gritty details, and you just want to know everything about them. You know, when they put the toilet roll on, does it come down or does it come from below? Which way do they put? You want to know those things. Maybe not. Might be more detailed than you actually want to know. But anyway, as we grow in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, what happens? We discover more grace and more peace. Why? We are in love with him. We want to know more about him. And folks, that is really what the believer should be doing. We should constantly want to know so much more about him. That's why we should want to spend time in his word. We should want to know more of relating to his people, his body, which he declared that we are. We should want to know his body. We should want to know everything about him. And as we do that, you know what's going to happen? Grace and peace will be ours in abundance. Grace and peace are ours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grow in that knowledge and you will grow in abundance in grace and peace. All right. Verse 3. This is the one that we're going to have this nailed down and memorized by the time we're done here. And I want you to actually do this with me. Go ahead and open right up in your pew Bible. I believe it was page 860, something like that. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to say this out loud together. This is the key verse in this passage that we need to absorb this morning and throughout the coming weeks. Ready? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Try that one more time. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. All right. I'm going to tell you right now, there is a part of me that wishes that this verse was not in the Bible. There's a part of me that wants to take a black Sharpie marker and just go right there. Just get rid of that. You know why? Because there are times when I want to whine and say, this Christian walk is too hard, I can't do it. And I can't get over this addiction. I can't share my faith. I can't obey God. I can't understand His word. I can't have strength through this tribulation. I can't survive another meeting. The last one, I digressed. But anyway, this passage declares once and for all that there is no whining. There's no grounds for whining as a believer, is there? We can't say, but God wants me to live a godly life, but I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. And He says, yes, you do. Because my divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And so no whining is allowed. No excuses can legitimately be made. And so when I want to whine and complain and gripe and moan and say, I can't, that's when I want to Sharpie marker this verse right out. Because it says you can. Zip it up. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. No excuses allowed. We cannot point the finger at God when we don't live a godly life. He says, I gave you what you needed. Everything. I filled your toolbox with every tool you could possibly need to build a godly life. We're not missing any tools. My goodness, how many times I get down to my disorganized mess of mismatched tools in the basement and say, I know I bought the right tool. I know I even used that tool. If I had no idea what it was. We're not missing any tools. They're all right here in our toolbox. And again, I love this. The end of verse 3, just a little side note. How were we called? The divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by what? His own glory and goodness. Did He call us because He knew what we were going to ultimately decide by His foreknowledge? No. He called us by His own glory and goodness. God, I sometimes say, Lord, why would you call me to Himself? Does it make sense? Not when I look in the mirror, it doesn't. I look in the mirror and I say, boy, I'll tell you, if I were you, I wouldn't have chosen me, but He did. We kind of wonder that, can't we, sometimes? And say, what was He thinking? Well, it was His choice by His own glory and goodness. And because it was His choice, it gains Him glory, because it was by His glory and goodness that He called us to Himself. All right. We all have the same tools. They're all right there in our toolbox. You have the same tools that the apostles had. Think about it. You and I have the same tools. Same toolbox, every single one of us. The Apostle Peter, same tools. Apostle Paul, same tools. John Calvin, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, St. Augustine, Jonathan Edwards. You can name all the heroes of the faith throughout all of the centuries of Christendom. Same toolbox. There is something to me about that is extremely exciting. Because if we look in the past and we say there were those who built lives of greatness, built lives that were godly. Well, I can too. I'm not lacking. I'm not deficient somehow in the tools that I have. We've all received the same tools. Now, we're going to talk in coming weeks about what we're actually doing with those tools. We'll talk about how those tools are used, but we all have the same tools. No excuses. Same toolbox. In closing, I like to say that because usually it gets a smile. In closing, we all received the same toolbox, same faith that the apostles received, that precious gift of faith. We all receive that gift. Our knowledge of our God and Savior is what is needed for that abundant grace and peace. Remember, kind of think of it in terms of being in love. You want to know all about that person. The more you know all about God, the more you grow in your knowledge of Him, you will grow in abundance and grace and peace. And remember that there is nothing we lack when it comes to building a godly life. We have all the tools. We're going to discover together what to do with those tools and piece together that godly life that he's calling us to build. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. Lord, that is both exciting to us in that we know that we also can achieve greatness in your kingdom. We also can build those godly lives that will please you and inspire others. But it's also not just exciting, it's challenging and almost scary. Because it's quite difficult to use tools maybe that we haven't been very skilled in using, and maybe we can even feel like, I don't even want to try, I'm afraid I won't know what to do with that tool. Remind us that you've given us your Holy Spirit. You will empower us. You will teach us how to use the tools that you've given us. We thank you that you have called us, you have chosen us, you have drawn us to yourself. We are in awe of that truth. We thank you and we praise you, the author and finisher of our faith. In Christ's name, amen.